Hey, good morning, church. Glad you could join me as we prepare to get into the Word this morning. Great to be seen. So thankful that you could join me as we do this morning. I would encourage you that if you haven't been in fellowship with other brothers or sisters in Christ, let me encourage you to find a way to reach out. To find a way to reach out, because the community of faith is super important for our growth and our development. And so let me encourage you to reach out. But I'm so glad to be able to share the Word with you this morning. Glad you could tune in. Join me if you would as we go to prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for the ability to be alive again. Lord, to be able to function, to be able to breathe, to be able to, well, Lord, to have access to your Word. I'm so thankful, Father, for the ability that we have to do this using this technology. I pray that it is all for your glory. God, this morning, we desire to open up your Word and hear directly from you, because we know that you have spoken. There's no new revelation we seek, Father, but help us to understand your Word. I pray that you would give us, Lord, illumine our eyes, illumine our minds to what it is that you have said in your Word. And I pray, Lord, that we would, Lord, leave here differently than we came in. Father, I'm so thankful for my brothers and sisters who have the chance to watch this right now. I pray that you would strengthen them, that you would bless them. Father, that they would know you more, that you would increase their faith. Lord, that you would increase their joy, their peace. But God, that we would know you more is our greatest desire. And so here we are. And we wait on you with great expectation. In Jesus' name, amen. So glad you could join me again. I'm Pastor Chad from Mohican Church. And we are going to be getting into the book of Luke this morning. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This sermon is entitled, When Jesus Boards the Boat. Now, the text we're going to be looking at has to do with Peter and the boys and their encounter with Jesus. And as we look into this text, we're going to see that an encounter with Jesus prompts a response. And so what are the options for a response? What are the options for our response when we encounter Jesus, coming to know him as he truly is? And so we're going to look into the text, see what it is that God has said in his Word this morning. Join me as I read the text. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the Word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Praise God for his word this morning. In this text, what we see, just to kind of go over and set the scene a little bit here, what we see as we are reading this text is Jesus preaching by the shore. Now, Jesus was preaching the Word of God. We see that different places in the Scripture say that Jesus himself says, this is why I have come. It's why he would leave one place and go to the next, because he was preaching the Word. He was doing the same thing right here by the Sea of Galilee. As Jesus is preaching, the crowds are pressing in on him because there are people eager to hear. Now, there are people eager to want to know what he says. And because he spoke, we know from other places in Scripture, he spoke as one having authority. Because he certainly did. Because not only was he speaking the Word of God, he was the incarnate Word. And so the people were there. They were hungry to hear what Jesus said. So the pressing in on him as he is, I can picture in my mind backing up to the sea. And with such a great crowd of people, they needed to hear. And one of the great ways for someone to be able to hear is across water. You know, as we know, if we are on water and it's not choppy and it's not too windy or anything, sound travels pretty good across water. And so Jesus was backed up against the sea, and there were a couple of boats there. The boats were docked, so to speak. They were stationary. They weren't out there being put to work. Boats were there. The fishermen that owned the boats were off to the side, and they were washing their nets. They were mending their nets because they were finished. They were finished fishing for the night, and now it was day, and they were mending, and they were washing their nets. And so here is our scene. Jesus, the crowd of people, the empty boats, and the fishermen over there. Now, Jesus, being pressed about, wanted to get into one of the boats and push off a little bit so that the crowd of people gathered on the shore could hear him well. It essentially was acting as a floating pulpit. And so Jesus goes over, he boards one of the boats. Just so happens that it was Peter's. And I say that in jest because Jesus knew exactly whose boat that it was. We know who Jesus is. And Peter didn't quite yet know. But Jesus did not make a mistake by stepping in Peter's boat. Jesus knew exactly whose boat he was stepping into and who he was about to encounter. And so Jesus steps into this boat, which was Peter's. And he asked him to put out a little from the land. And that's where Jesus sat then on the boat and he taught the people. It worked out beautifully. I'm sure it probably put Peter out just a little bit. Because Peter was tired. Because Peter was busy. I don't know how much Peter was actually listening in the first place to Jesus' teaching. But now, Jesus is in Peter's boat and Peter is at least hearing some of what Jesus says. I don't know how much Peter was falling asleep. Could have happened, knowing Peter. I mean, he did fall asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane later on. And Peter had a long night. He had a long night where they were fishing. And so, Jesus, preaching from Peter's boat, and then finish the sermon. Now, when Jesus finished the sermon, he didn't say, okay, take me back to shore, Peter. But Jesus, the teacher, turned to Peter and said, hey, Peter, put out into the deep. Don't go that way. Let's go this way, and let's go fishing. Now, I can only imagine what Peter's face looked like at that point, because, again, I'm sure Peter was tired. Peter was a little dejected because they surely didn't have a great, great night. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, put out into the deep and we're going to go fishing. And let down your nets for a catch. Have you ever had somebody unqualified and not knowledgeable at what you do try to tell you how to do your job, how to do what you do? Does it ever frustrate you? I can only imagine how this must have come across to Peter when Peter, as a fisherman by trade, has this teacher jump in his boat and say, Peter, let's go fishing. And And Peter knew all the reasons why it was not a good time to go fishing. And Peter, bless his heart, we see Peter first object by saying, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. We just got finished fishing all night, sir, and we didn't catch a thing." So we see Peter objecting, bringing up his objection to Jesus, saying, "Listen, excuse me, sir," which essentially that's what Peter is saying when he says, "Master." He's essentially saying, "Sir, we have already been working, we caught nothing." But then we see Peter submitting to what Jesus asked him to do. He said, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." I don't know, listen, maybe it had something to do with the fact that Peter might have wanted to say, "Listen, I'll show you. I'll show you. Listen, sir, I'm pretty confident you don't know what you're talking about here, but okay, I'm going to humor you and I'll show you. And so we'll go out to the deep and we'll put down the nets just like you asked." That's where things start to get real. Because up until this point, I do not believe Peter really knew who Jesus was. Up until this point, Peter is simply a fisherman who has not had an encounter with Jesus. Now, things start to get real. They go out to the deep, just like Jesus asked, and they put down the nets for a catch. And what happens next was something that blew their minds. What happened next was what's described as a miraculous catch. What happens is they put the net in and they caught so many fish that their net was breaking. This is not a normal time of day nor a normal place out in the deep to put your net and to catch fish. But now they did it at Jesus' word, and their net was breaking. They caught so many, so much so that Peter had to signal the other boat. I can only imagine what that signal looked like. He had to signal the other boat to come out and help them. And they filled the boats. It says that they filled the boats so full that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. I promise you that's more fish than they were used to catching. This was something that was so miraculous. This is something that so got their attention that this transformed Peter's realization of who this guy was. His realization is revealed in his responses right here in this text. That's what I want to really look at this morning. I want you to join me as we look at Peter's realization of who Jesus was and how that was worked out in his responses to him here. Part of Peter's response, we see in verse 8 that Peter, when he saw the miraculous catch, he fell down on his knees. Okay, he fell down on his knees and he said something. He said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What I want to look at first is Peter was coming to the realization and acknowledging that this man who boarded his boat was not just a normal guy. That this man who he just had an encounter with is not just some teacher. He is not just some nice sir, a tourist who happened to jump in his boat and said, "Show me some fish." Peter, in his calling Jesus Lord, is different than him calling him master or sir a couple of verses earlier. Peter got to this point where he came to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. That Jesus was deity. He calls him Lord instead of sir. When we have a genuine encounter with Jesus, coming to see him as he really is, we believe that he is who he says he is. Jesus absolutely claims to be God throughout the scripture. Peter came to realize that. And so in response to him having this encounter with Jesus in his boat, Peter falls on his knees and he acknowledges that Jesus, you are not just a man, but you are God incarnate, Lord. Listen to what he says as he is coming to this realization. Listen to what Peter does. Now, mind you, this is a fisherman in his own boat that has Jesus in it, and he has fish all over the place. Now, this is a pretty real, pretty gritty scene. I mean, this is real. I just got done catching a bunch of fish and cleaning a bunch of fish. And so there's a certain smell, there's textures, there's all of that. This is a real and a gritty situation and scene right here in this boat right now. But this is such an amazing time for Peter that he does something that is pretty amazing here. He falls on his knees and he calls Jesus Lord and he says, "Depart from me because I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, at first glance, that might seem really, really strange. A strange response from this fisherman to Jesus who is in his boat. But it's not that strange, and it is not that unique. You see, Peter is coming face to face with the Son of God, and he is realizing it. And this response of Peter is something that is absolutely, it is absolutely something to be expected from someone who has come face to face and come to the realization of who Jesus is. Peter is faced with the Holy One. Peter is faced with the One that he is coming now to understand this. This is the Messiah. And when he comes to that realization, all of a sudden, he has a very clear realization of who he is. He has a very clear picture of his state. This is a picture that is a scene that I guess is displayed different places in the Scripture. Anytime someone realizes that they are in the presence of the Holy, their response is to see their sinfulness. Their response is to really get on their knees and understand the depth of their despair. Peter does this very thing. We see that response in Isaiah. In Isaiah the prophet, chapter 6, this is one example. I won't give you too many this morning. You can check those out. You can look them up. But there are so many responses just like this when people have an encounter with the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, the first handful of verses beginning in chapter 1, this is a vision that Isaiah had of the Lord. We read this: "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the sound of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" We see Isaiah coming face to face with the Holy. And Isaiah having the very same kind of response that Peter has right here when he comes to the realization of who Jesus is. It is a very natural, it's actually a very appropriate response. When we have an encounter with the Lord, to understand that he is who he says he is, and to have this, uh, this all of a sudden a very clear picture of who we are, our uncleanness, our sin. As Peter did, he says, "Look, depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." One of the responses that we can have when we have an encounter with Jesus, one response, we see it in the Scripture, and I see it lived out in different people's lives a number of times, is very similar to the rich young ruler that we read of in the Scripture, that came up to Jesus, asked what he needed to do to be saved. Jesus pointed out where his lack was, and he went away sad. Sometimes a real response that people have when they come face to face with Jesus is to go away sad. Essentially, every time we have an encounter with Jesus, we have an opportunity to respond. Sometimes that response is to walk away sad. But the responses of the disciples of the Lord is to see him for who he is, and then to see themselves for who they really are. It is a very biblical thing, and it's a very appropriate thing, I suggest, that we come to him in brokenness. When we see him for who he is, we come to him in brokenness and repentance, which Peter is showing us right here in this text. David also did in Psalm 51. David, this is a picture of what that looks like, I believe. When we see ourselves for who we are, David said in verse 3 of chapter 51, he said, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." That's kind of like what Peter was feeling and sensing right here, and like what Isaiah was sensing in chapter 6. "For I know my transgression, my sin is ever before me." Because in comparison to who he is, when we look at him and not at other people, when we look at him, we all of a sudden see ourselves for what we are really, truly like. And David continues and he says, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." David understood, and in his own words, his sin was ever before him. You see, a response always comes when we have an encounter with Jesus. An appropriate response that we should have is one of brokenness for our sin. Because without brokenness, there is no healing. Without brokenness and repentance, there is no forgiveness. There is no restoration to God. And so let me encourage you, if you have not responded to Jesus in this way, you have not responded in a biblical way. You have not responded in a way that is going to make any difference in your eternity. And so, if you have had an encounter with Jesus, a brush-in, you know, a run-in with Jesus, if you have come to know his name and begin to believe that he is who he says he is, how have you responded? Have you responded in brokenness for your sin and repentance? If you haven't, let me suggest that you do that right now. Because when we do that right now, this is the sacrifice that God desires. Our coming to understand who we are, realizing our desperation, our need for him. That's exactly what Peter did right here. He came to understand that Jesus was Lord, and he said so when he fell on his face. And he cried out, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." This is not the only response that is necessary in our responding to Jesus. This is our first response when responding to Jesus. But look at how the story continues. So they're still in the boat and they catch these fish, and Peter's on his face, understanding who he is, looking to Jesus. And it says that not only was Peter amazed at this catch of fish, but all of the others with him were astonished, as were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So we have everybody here being astonished by this. And because of this action, because of this miracle, they're understanding who Jesus was. It's actually like that a lot of times in Scripture. Jesus is teaching. He does a miracle, and people understand. People begin to believe who he is. Essentially, kind of like his miracles are authenticating his teaching. And so I can only imagine in my head, as Peter is coming to this realization of who Jesus is, perhaps now part of the sermon that Peter was only halfway listening to before, when Jesus was preaching from his boat, perhaps Peter is remembering some of these things now. And he is saying, this is truth. This is important. And I can even, in my mind's eye, begin to see Peter and these other boys beginning to grasp some of this truth that Jesus was preaching on. And so as they're processing this information, I can only imagine all the things that are going through the minds of these fishermen. I don't know how far from shore they were, but they were a little distance because they put out to the deep. And on the way back, surely many things were going through their mind. And I wonder, I think I have an idea of some of the stuff that was going through their mind because of what Jesus said to them. What else did Jesus say to these disciples? Jesus said to Simon in verse 10, "Do not be afraid." He said, "Do not be afraid." Now, why in the world would Jesus say, "Do not be afraid," to these disciples who just came to the realization of who Jesus was? We see Peter responding to him in brokenness and repentance. Why would Peter be afraid? I think because of what Jesus says next, I think, and because of what we see happen next, I think some of that fear perhaps came as a result of this encounter that Peter just had. Means that nothing could ever be the same. You know, when we respond to Jesus, understanding who he really is, understanding that he's not just a Sunday thing, but that he is Almighty God incarnate, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, our Savior and our Lord. I think Peter realized that once that boat hit the shore, nothing was ever going to be the same. How could it be? How could it be? Because if this was truly the Messiah, if this was truly the Savior, then not only would he save me because of my brokenness and my repentance, my response to him in that way, but if he really is who he says he is, I will follow him from this point on. You see, we have an opportunity to respond to Jesus. You know, we're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 tells us. We also know that we are saved by grace through faith, and we are saved for good works that he has already set aside for us. Ephesians 2:10 says that. I think Peter had an inkling that was the case. I think that Peter knew that when the boat hit the shore, that things could not ever be the same. Now, you know that when the Lord is calling us to something, that can evoke some fear because we're not sure what it looks like. Because we're not sure what that's going to mean for us. Because we're not sure how far out of our comfort zone that's going to bring us. And so that's why I think there was some fear there. I think there was some fear there, and I think the Lord was encouraging Peter, saying, "Peter, don't be afraid, because what I call you to do, I will strengthen you for." As a matter of fact, Peter, what I call you to do, you will find so much greater fulfillment in doing that than you will staying here on this boat. My friends, I think it's the same with us, present-day disciples of Jesus. You know, we respond to him in faith, in brokenness and repentance for our sin as a Savior. And then we respond to him as Lord and Master of all, the one that we are following. And I encourage you to follow him. Be obedient to him. What is it that he has told us to do? Well, we know what he has told us to do in the Scriptures. But what is it that he is leading you to do in areas of service? What is he calling you to do in your life to help, to serve people? people to utilize your spiritual gifts. What is he calling you to do? And if you have an inkling of what that is, don't be afraid. Jesus told Peter, he says, listen, you are going to catch men. That's a whole lot better than catching fish. Granted, I do love to fish, but Peter, you are going to have such a higher impact than you could even ever imagine. Peter, there's nothing to be afraid of because I am going to empower you to do what it is that I'm calling you to do. Yeah, but what about these boats? What about the business? What about providing for my family? Because we see that they are about to leave everything and follow Jesus. Peter's surely thinking, God, what about the details? What am I going to do? Because now I must follow you because I know who you are. And Jesus is saying, Peter, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. My plan is way bigger than you can even imagine. And so they get back to the shore. These disciples who just had an encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Jesus that showed them who he was, that prompted them to respond in faith by being broken for their sin and repenting, and having an encounter with Jesus that prompted them to continue to respond to him in obedience. Once they stepped off that boat, they left everything and they followed Jesus. Let me leave you with just this. How are you responding to the Lord? What do you need to do next to respond to him? Because we all will respond to him. What is it that you need to do next to respond to him in faith? Father God, I pray that you would show us, Lord. Show us each individually where we need to respond to you. Some of us have never even come to the place of brokenness for our sin and repentance and turning. I pray that you would bring us to that point today. And God, I thank you so much for the salvation that you offer us at that point in time. When we are broken for our sin, when we repent of it and trust fully in the Savior. Lord, others of us have done that. We have responded in that way. But some of us are having trouble, like on the boat ride from the catch of fish back to the shore. Some of us are fearful. Because we're not really sure what it means to, what it will look like if we actually say yes to what you're calling us to whatever obedience you're calling us to. And Father, I pray that you would, by your grace and your mercy, Father, I pray that you would encourage us to step out in obedience to you. I thank you, Father, for your great love for us, for offering us salvation in Jesus, and also your beautiful grace that you include us in the work of the kingdom. Lord, I pray your hand of blessing upon my brothers and sisters as we go from this place today. Lord, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hey, glad to see you this morning. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, I pray that you would just live life for his glory. In Jesus' name. I love you all. God bless you.